You know, last Sunday's gospel was very similar to the gospel we just heard in some ways. Both describe the call of the first disciples. One difference is that in today's gospel, Mark tells us that the first four disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, were fishermen. Simon and Andrew were casting their nets when the call to discipleship came, and James and John were mending their nets. So let me ask you this question. What did they talk about that afternoon when they left what they were doing and followed Jesus? Anyone have an idea? Well, Jesus and the four disciples told stories. What kind of stories did they tell? They told fish stories. How do I know they told fish stories? Well, it's simple. The first four disciples were fishermen. When you're with fishermen, they tell fish stories. So you might be asking, well, what kind of fish story did Jesus tell? Well, he probably told the greatest fish story in the entire Bible, the story of Jonah. How do I know that? Well, because the church has placed a short excerpt from that story as today's first reading. And the story of Jonah has much to say about discipleship. Now, if you only knew today's short version from the book of Jonah, you might think that Jonah was the perfect disciple. After all, the reading describes the prophet as a great success. Jonah heard God's call. He walked one day through the city, and everyone there converted and believed in God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth in repentance. Even God's mind was changed, for the Ninevites were not destroyed as God had threatened. I mean, that's just amazing. But as Paul Harvey would say, it's the rest of the story. The rest of the story of Jonah really teaches us about discipleship. It's the part of the Jonah story you didn't hear today that tells us the most about being a disciple, whether you are Simon, Andrew, James, John, or one of us here today. Jonah was a very reluctant disciple, a disobedient disciple. He was a whiner. He was a complainer. At the start of the story, God calls Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, Israel's worst enemy. So what does Jonah do? He gets in a boat and heads the opposite direction. And a violent storm comes up, and the ship is in danger of sinking. And the sailors somehow know that Jonah is the cause of their danger because he's fleeing from the Lord. So they confront Jonah. Then we catch a hint of why Jesus might have told this fish story to his new disciples. Despite all of his many weaknesses, Jonah offers himself to save the ship. Jonah is a type of redeemer figure. He tells the sailors, "Throw me into the sea and the sea will quiet down for you." And so the sailors do just that. And suddenly, calm spreads over the sea and all is well. And what happens to good old Jonah next? Well, now you come to the part that convinces me that the author of Jonah is the patron saint of people who tell fish stories. You know this part, a fish, a really big fish, a fish bigger than the one that got away, swallows up poor Jonah. And how long did Jonah remain in the belly of that really big fish, the whale? Well, I think Jesus might have paused right here to let it all sink in. He was in there for 3 days. And Matthew tells us that later, when the Pharisees pressed Jesus to work some sign, Jesus would say to them, "No sign will be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah." And the story goes on, and this great fish miraculously spits Jonah out onto dry land right by Nineveh so that he can travel there, the very place God had called him to go to. And as today's reading tells us, his preaching was a great success. But the story doesn't end there. After Nineveh is converted, Jonah begins to sulk. He gets angry and complains that God has been merciful to the Ninevites. God causes a gourd plant to grow up and give Jonah some shelter and shade. But just as suddenly it withers, and Jonah is so depressed that he asks for death. And God asks him, "Have you lost your mind?" He tells Jonah that he's worried about this dumb gourd plant that Jonah had nothing to do with. But God is concerned about the great city of Nineveh and more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left. If they were paying attention, the first disciples might have drawn some important lessons about discipleship from the story of Jonah, and we might too. And that is where the good news from the passage of today's gospel comes in. Did you catch it? The first lesson is sometimes we hear God's call, but we go in an opposite direction. I know I did that when I first felt the call to be a deacon. It scared me. We say to Jesus, "We'll follow him," but then the memory of that promise fades and we return to our day-to-day activities or our nets, so to speak. And yet, despite this tendency, God still brings about good in our lives, just as he did with Jonah. Talk about love and mercy. And that was certainly the case with Peter and the other disciples. Simon Peter left his nets, swearing to follow Jesus wherever he might lead, only to turn and run in the opposite direction from Calvary. "No, I don't know him," he said three times. And where did Jesus find him? Back at his nets. But the story didn't end there. Peter left his nets again and followed Christ even to his own martyrdom. And it's the same with us. We turn back again and again to our nets only to encounter Christ again and hear the call again and to follow him. Now, the second lesson the disciples might have drawn from the story of Jonah is that God's mercy cannot be limited. Jonah and the Israelite people for whom it was written could not conceive of God being merciful to the wicked people of Nineveh. The story of Jonah strikes directly at this viewpoint. The story prepares the way for the gospel of Jesus with its message of redemption for all, not just some, but everyone, both Jew and Gentile. All four disciples in today's Gospels would have difficulty with this message. James and John once asked Jesus to call down destruction upon a town that had treated them badly. And Peter would struggle over Paul, over Gentiles' admission into the Christian community. Perhaps in these moments, they remember Jesus telling them the fish story of Jonah. And maybe we need to remember it when we struggle to integrate the reality of God's unlimited mercy into our hearts and actions. His mercy isn't just limited to us, people like us. Not just people that we like and agree with, but everyone, everyone who wants to follow Jesus. As we leave church today, may our stories be stories of mercy. Stories of turning back to God, and stories of true discipleship. May our stories become a part of the greatest story ever told of Christ's redemption for the whole world. This week, let's make it a point to look for ways that God brings about good in our lives, despite us turning away at times, and see how God's mercy is unlimited for all people. Look at the people around you. The people whom you may not see eye to eye with. And look at how God's mercy is for them too, and ask yourself, how can I love them too? Pray over that. And remember, we are all called by our faith to be fishers of men.